Ready? Ready? No. That's okay. Let's stand.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come. Thank you.
great.
Well, if you can't tell, we are now in the Christmas season, and there was a team of people from our church that came into the sanctuary this week. They redecorated the auditorium. Doesn't it look really nice? I love it. And of course, it's December now, and Jack Frost visited already. It's cold outside. I saw the frost on the roof. I had to dump water on my windshield to make it to church today. So that's the way it goes. But we're here because we're here to worship Christ our Lord. And I hope you're here to do the same with us. We want to welcome you to Sebastopol Christian Church. My name is Jim, and I'm pastor here, and we're so glad that you came. And we hope you find this is a safe place, as you do online, if you're joining us via live stream, that this is a safe place for us to worship and explore our Christian faith together. Now, today is the first day of December, which is also the first day of Advent. And there are four Advent candles, and we are going to light the first one. The first Sunday of Advent, the first candle represents hope. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Let me say that again. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Those who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. And that light is Jesus himself coming into our world. And we're celebrating that first candle of Advent. What I'd like you guys to do is turn and greet one another and just say, how's your Christmas season going so far?
Sometimes if I find something in the store, I totally buy it. Yeah. I'm a deal shopper, though. Good morning. How are you? Good morning. Hannah, yes. Thank you. Yeah? Awesome. Nice. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. And what was your name?
Peter.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate it. That's awesome. Yeah.
Do you know anybody who's a really good, trustworthy, high-end,
reasonable price for a designer? Web designer. Let's see. You know, I don't know very many that are reasonably priced. I mean, usually the ones I know start around like 80 something to 100 something dollars an hour, but I have some contacts that I do know. If you give me your card or your information, your email address would be best. I can send you some people. Yeah, absolutely.
Since the beginning of November, I've been listening to Christmas music.
Yes. I'll just be here one more. Yeah. Next week. Yeah. And then I'll be off for the rest. Because then I like to make sure I get to have my holiday season. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, I've been,
just one more. You're welcome.
I went to the Lincoln Brewster concert.
Huh?
Acoustic part is that he didn't use his electric
Ready?
Guitar to open, but he played mandolin and he played ukulele, and they're all electrified. And he had a bass player, and the bass player was playing an electric.
You ready?
Bass, and then a keyboard.
You ready,
keyboard
April?
Was not playing a piano. So I don't exactly know what was acoustic about it. But it was very rocking.
I can tell you, but
no.
We're going to continue with our worship, so please go ahead and join us and find your seat and go ahead and stand with me.
Thank you.
say thanks for the things you have done for me. Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory.
Good morning.
Wow, after that, kind of makes you break down when you realize it, but it's also a perfect opening of my communion meditation. I love this time of year because it is so beautiful. The decorations, the music, the food, everything is just beautiful. It's really quite simply lovely. But there's really nothing simple about the majesty, the power, the love, and the glory of our Creator and Savior, Jesus Christ. The writer of Genesis tells us that in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. You can see behind me, that's just one small, infinite piece of God's glory that we see. All three persons of the Trinity were there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were at the beginning and the reason of creation. In perfect unity, they spoke the universe into being. The power and the wisdom displayed in an instant are incomprehensible to me. A perfect world was created. We can worship God's power and majesty when we look up at the night sky. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it makes me speechless. And we won't even go there. Sometimes I like it because when my husband Mike is talking to people and they say, well, how come you believe? And a lot of times he just says, he looks at him and he puts his hands up and he says, this is why. And it's so apparent. The writer in Romans tells us that everything is so obvious that it's by God's hand. I love that. But God, knowing that we would need a Savior, that we would not be able to come to Him, He came to us. The gospel writer Luke, he tells us, and the angel said to some shepherds in the field, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all people." That's all of us. "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He became a defenseless, innocent baby. Only God could redeem us. Only His love could pay the price for our sins. I love the picture of a beautiful baby, innocent, sinless. The priceless gift of Jesus, the Son of God, Creator. We give thanks to Him who gave us everything. But the psalmist also tells us that heavens declare His glory. And believe it or not, this was taken from the Hubble. And it is the black hole of the Whirlpool universe. And we have to remember when it says the heavens declare the glory of God, their expanse tells of the work of His hands. Doesn't that just rock your boat? Across, billions of miles away, shows His glory from the beginning of time. They are the work of His hands. The hands that were nailed to a cross 2,000 years ago for you and for me. Perfect God, Creator, Savior. You alone, Jesus, are worthy of our praise. Emmanuel, God with us. Awesome God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just can't express enough thanks to you But we want to start just by giving you our silent worship, but also our exclamation of praise at your glory. You did it all for us because you loved us. And you made it possible for us to come to you through our precious Lord and Savior Jesus. And as we take communion today, I pray that we would always remember and stop and think through this beautiful holiday season, truly the sacrifice that Creator God gave for us to be able to celebrate and live in hope for the days to come. I just thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, April. That was beautiful. I don't know if I can handle any more beauty. I don't know about you all, but she's trying to kill me, my sister. The worship music was gorgeous. The choir song is gorgeous. That's going to be awesome, I know. Ugh. Merry Christmas! And good morning. As we prepare for our offering and for our announcements, won't you please pray with me? Holy Father, as we give our offerings this morning, we ask that you bless these funds and use them as you see fit, and that it glorify you in all ways. We humbly adore you, we humbly honor you, and we humbly praise you. In your Son's name, amen. I think I'm gonna try to lighten the load now with these announcements. Okay, first of all, the Giving Tree. As you know, we had the Giving Tree last year, and we're doing it again this year. And this year, if you are not aware, it is for the Butte County Fire folks. We'd like to help them in any way that we can. So we just ask that you participate in any way that you can. And then on December 9th, we have our discussion and voting. And we ask that you carefully and prayerfully look over the budget and the nominees and vote where you feel God is leading you. And we would appreciate that very much. So, in a very light tone, we're having our Christmas cozy on December 8th. And guys, sorry. No, not happening. No. But I'm wearing my PJs, ladies, and we got matching. So my mother and my sisters and I, so I'm not going to say any more than that, but we're going to be matching, okay? And also, so sign up, ladies, in the back if you want to, if you'd like to come, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to watch a movie and, you know, have hot chocolate and snacks, that all that good stuff. And then on December 9th, we have the same day as the voting, right after the voting. You can go downstairs because we're having soup. Three kinds of soup. Ooh la la. It's just going to be so good. I can always eat. Never fails. I'd love to have any other thing happen but eat, and that's me. I just want to eat. So it's going to be wonderful, and it's for a good cause because it's going to send the kids to Hume Lake, I believe it's called. Yeah. So that's going to be wonderful. And then we're going to have our Christmas program on December 15th and 16th. And you think I'm using Kleenex now? You're going to need Kleenex. It's gorgeous. So it's very exciting. So we hope you will come to that. It's going to be 6 o'clock both nights. And it is based around a book that our own Francine Rivers wrote. And it's going to be wonderful. Thank you all. And let's have our... Sir, come on up.
Thank you, Becky, and I appreciate your enthusiasm, and I guess you're just a little bit excited about the Christmas show coming up in 2 weeks. It's going to be fun. Christmas in Sebastopol. I'm looking forward to that. You saw the sign out there, so I hope you will think about who you can invite, whether it's a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, a friend that will want to come to that show. It's free, and it's at 6 o'clock both nights on Saturday, December 15 and December 16. Today we're going to kick off the Christmas season by talking about a message that is for those who might be having a more difficult time in the Christmas season than a lot of people have. I happen to love the Christmas season. It's the only holiday that I can think of where you celebrate the holiday about like the whole month. Am I seeing Rich and Shannon Koyan in the mouth? Welcome. It's good to have you guys in the audience. I don't normally call somebody out, but I thought that was really cool, and I thought it was a mirage, thinking they were from Nevada, Vegas. It was one of those heat waves coming off the desert, but nope, they're here with us, so that's fantastic. But I love the Christmas season. I love all the songs. I love the music. I love the decorations, the pageantry. This morning, I pulled out a link. It was this little fastener to the gutter for the Christmas lights because I put them on outside yesterday, and I was just like, "Hey, Christmas lights are up. It's festive. It's fun. Everywhere you go, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. In fact, we sing a lot of Christian songs for Christmas. The culture around us sings a lot of songs that aren't necessarily Christian, but they're kind of fun anyway. In 1951, there was a song written by Meredith Willson called It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. It says, "Take a look at the 5 and 10. Anybody know what a 5 and 10 is? Yeah? The old discount retail store. It was way before Walmart. It was way before Target. Yeah, it was like your local retail store where everything was local. It was glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. Toys in every store, but the perfect sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door." So putting up your own holly is always fun to do. And the boys, of course, are hoping for boots or pistols. The girls are hoping for dolls that can talk and go for a walk. That's what Janice and Jen are hoping for. And then Mom and Dad, what are they hoping for? Remember that? And Mom and Dad can hardly wait till school will start again. Yep, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. I mean, what a nice, uplifting song. I always like it. I loved it when Bing Crosby sang it in 1951 when it first came out. I love it when Perry Como sang it in 1968. I liked it in the 1980s when Johnny Mathis sang it. I liked it in the 90s when this new guy from Sonoma County, Michael Bubbly, That would be a Sonoma County pronunciation. Michael Bublé, when he sang, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. It's a fun song. But here's the question for some of us who maybe are not looking forward to the holidays as much as everybody else is, and that is, what happens when you don't feel like you have a carol that you can sing right within your heart? See, when some of us say Christmas or some of us say the word holiday, here's the question. When you think of that, because we're right in the middle of the season now, where Thanksgiving has passed, and now we're looking forward to Christmas in about 3 weeks and maybe 2 days, is it? 3 weeks and 3 days? What are the words that come to mind? Now, when you were a kid, what words came to mind, right? Okay, first, the thing that I remember as a kid was no school. No school, fun, outside, family, presents, lots of presents, right? And then overeating. That was something that I was famous for doing during the holidays. Maybe even getting sick because I had too many sweets. Now, as you get older and you think about the word Christmas or the holiday, what are some of the words as you get older that come to mind? Maybe not so much fun, right? What about stress? For all the presents you have to buy that leave you financially broke. What about pressure? All the decorations you have to put up and then take down right after, seems like right after you put them up. Anxiety for perhaps all the weight you're gaining. Overcommitted, another word that comes to mind. Look at all the events and the parties and the obligations and the Christmas shows and the rehearsals that you have to go to and all the people around you. Maybe on the holiday itself, all the people around you that you hang out with that you normally don't hang out with and you don't even really like on a personal level. Maybe another word that comes to mind is sadness. Maybe the Christmas season reminds you of some losses in your life. Maybe this year there will be one less table setting at your table for dinner this year. Maybe sadness for how the holidays just seem to highlight and amplify your own loneliness. See, for some people, happy and holidays don't really seem to go together. That's the time that often brings as much anxiety and loneliness and disappointment as it does joy. There was a lady who confessed, and I was watching a divorce care promotional trailer, and it was talking about surviving the holidays for a lady who had just been divorced, and she was extremely sad and not looking forward to the Christmas season at all. And she said, I wish I could go to sleep the day before Thanksgiving and wake up on January 2nd. Now, granted, that was difficult for her in her certain life stage. You know, a lot of people feel stress and anxiety during the holidays. So here's a question. You know, if that's the way you're feeling, how can you put love and joy and peace back into your holiday season? Because I believe that God doesn't want us just to survive the holidays. He wants us to thrive during the holidays. So here's what I did to begin the message. I go on the internet, where all truth is found, and I check 7 websites under the heading, How to Survive the Holidays. I went to the first 7 websites, How to Survive the Holidays. And I kid you not, most of them had to do with eating, with not getting too much of the wrong foods and eating more of the right foods. And I mean, what's the holidays for anyway? Right? And I'm thinking, like, why are you guys majoring on this? And be sure to hydrate, you know? So don't eat too much, eat some of the right foods, and be sure to hydrate. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you guys are really deep when it comes to surviving the holidays. In fact, and you think about it, because Jesus said something about food. He talked about food anyway. He said it's not what goes into your body that defiles you. I think about that the next piece of fudge I throw down. It's not really what goes into your body that defiles you. It's what comes out of you that defiles you. I don't think that just, quote, watching your food portions is going to make or break the Christmas season for any of us. You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're supposed to be joyous times of family bonding. They're quite often instead two of the most stressful days of the year. And for many of us, they're stressful and they're full of anxiety because we tend to do two things. Number one, we set expectations for ourselves too high for the holidays. We have these expectations that are way up here, and nothing, no matter how good the holiday season is, how many great family gatherings we have, nothing can meet those expectations. So there's number one. And then number two, we neglect to establish healthy boundaries when awkward family dynamics come into play, right? So we don't establish boundaries of what we're going to do or not do, what we're going to put up with or not put up with, what conversations we're going to have or not have with certain people. I think one of the biggest culprits that can steal your joy and your peace during the holidays is exactly this: having overly high expectations. And women, and I don't mean to single you out, but I just have to think that women, you more so than us men, you put more pressure on yourselves during the holidays than even men do. You think that you have to decorate, that you have to cook, that you have to prepare, and you have to host, and you have to do it all perfectly. And then you also take on the job of trying to make everybody around you happy as well. And then what ends up happening is you get overwhelmed because there's just not enough of you to go around. And then here's the other dynamic that's a reality in our world today. Our families are more spread out than ever. We also have more blended families. And the in-laws now, with more blended families and more extended family members, that just brings more people around. And it's even more challenging to have everyone and everything together and just right. Here's the ideal that I think a lot of us have in our head. Like when we think of the holidays and what's going to make them go right, we want to celebrate with everybody on the holiday itself. And when we celebrate on the holiday itself, we want to have all the members of our family gathered together there. And on that day, the holiday where everybody's gathered together, we want everybody to be happy. Just be happy, right? Reminds me of that scene from Christmas Vacation where Clark Griswold, played by Chevy Chase, and I have a slide to show you there. Do you remember that scene where everybody's gathered around the table in Christmas Vacation? And he'd ask somebody else to bake the turkey, and they've got all kinds of in-laws and crazy people around the table, and the cat's over there about to bite into the Christmas lights and start a fire for the Christmas tree, and the big dog that Cousin Eddie had brought is having some kind of movement under the table. And on top of the table, Clark Griswold is trying to have this wonderful family event, and he asks his Aunt Grace, or forgot what her name was, but she was 80 years old, and she said, and he asked her if she would say Grace, and she says, Grace, didn't she die years ago? And then he asked her to say Grace, and instead of saying a blessing and a prayer, she ends up saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And Cousin Eddie stands up, and they finish in saying, "In liberty and justice for all," and everybody says, "Amen." And they just sat down to celebrate Christmas. And then Chevy Chase cuts into the turkey, and it's completely dry, and it's basically full of air, and it just collapses. And it was sad. I mean, but Clark spent the whole movie trying to make everybody happy for Christmas, and it was just impossible. It reminds me, you know, trying to have this perfect holiday, it reminds me of what an engineer told somebody about a building project. This is what he said. He said, "Well, here's the way you can have it. You can have it better, or you can have it cheaper, or you can have it faster. Now pick two," right? Now what did he mean by that, by saying pick two? Because you're not going to get all three. You're likely to get better and cheaper and faster in a building project is nearly impossible. So here's a reminder. Here's our first reminder for those who are thinking, like, how are we going to make everybody else happy? And the stress and the anxiety that produces in our family dynamic. Here's the reminder. Number one, and this is true, you are the only person you can control. Do you realize that? That you can't control other people. You can persuade them. You can influence them. You can be an example for them. You can be a good model for them, but you cannot control them, anybody except yourself. And a lot of people have a disappointing Christmas season because they set their expectations for that holiday too high. You try to make everybody happy, and you can't. You forget to take care of yourself. You stay up too late. You don't drink enough water. I guess the theme of the message is hydrate, right? For the Christmas season. At least that's what the websites say. And I mean hydrate with water, not hydrate with some other beverages, right? They tend to be overdone as stress and anxiety go up during the holidays. So you stay up too late. You don't drink enough water. You don't get enough exercise. And then you wonder why you turned into the Grinch around December 15th. It's because temporarily you've lost your peace and joy and you've lost your perspective. Now, how are you going to get your peace back during the anxiety of the holidays? Isaiah the prophet wrote this. He said, "You will keep," talking you to God, "you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Where is that perfect peace going to be found? Not just for anybody. The perfect peace is going to be found for those people who learn to trust in God, for people who keep their thoughts and their focus on God. And so the first question for you for the holidays is to keep asking yourself, where are your thoughts fixed? Where are your thoughts fixed? Where is your focus this holiday season? Because that's going to be the difference, I think, ultimately, between joy for you or disappointment this holiday season. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. You know, I'm a person who loves peace. I think blessed are the peacemakers is one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. So I figured I got to do everything I can to keep the family in peace. And for me, that means that when we get into holidays and you get around blended families and extended family members who have worldviews that are way different from mine, I just know going into those days, I said, there are going to be some things that I am not going to talk about. There are going to be some things that are off limits. What happens when a certain family member or invited guest, somebody spouts off their opinion about everything, something that you could not disagree with more? What should you do then? Start World War III? No, I don't think that's the answer to it. I think we're going to keep in perfect peace sometimes by learning when not to talk about certain things. You know, it was Francis of Assisi who said this. He said this, "Seek to understand before you seek to be understood." Now, how do you do that? How do you seek to understand before you understand? When somebody spouts off one of those opinions and you just go, wow, like this is the opposite of what I believe in a conversation. Maybe if to seek to understand, maybe the way you could get into a conversation is start asking them questions. Ask them to clarify what they mean by what they say. And as they're clarifying it, maybe you can try to find some common ground with somebody who has a differing opinion. For example, here's a great line you can use. You can say, you know, we all want to see a better America. We all want to see a more caring society, don't we? And I don't know who would disagree with that. So there are ways to mitigate that issue during the holiday itself. Now, question, how can you celebrate in a way that you won't be disappointed? How can you celebrate the holidays in a way you won't be disappointed? Let me first define the word disappointment. Disappointment is the feeling of sadness or displeasure that's caused by a defeat of one's hopes or expectations. So how do you get disappointed? You get your hopes up to here. You instead of reality, you push your hopes into the fantasy world of everything has to be perfect. Everybody's got to be gathered on the same day. We all have to get along. We all have to play the games we used to play. Everybody's got to have a great attitude. Everybody sticks in. There's nobody who goes off. You know, all the introverts in the family, they're going to need some time by themselves. But, you know, you being the extrovert, you try to gather everybody together all the time. And you put your expectations way up here and you can't help but set yourself up for disappointment. So the idea is, don't set yourself up for disappointment. In reality, when you see that your expectations aren't met, it can leave you frustrated, it can leave you hurt, and even bitter during the holidays. You look around, sometimes you see the videos, sometimes you see a Christmas special, and they always show this perfect scene. There's a snow softly falling outside. There's a scene where the family is gathered, and they're neatly wrapped presents under a perfect Christmas tree, and the family's laughing and smiling. And maybe there's a piano playing, and somebody in the family's a piano player, and you're all gathered around singing Christmas carols, and everybody has a beautiful voice. Those perfect pictures, unfortunately, can leave each one of us focusing on what is missing in our lives. What we're focusing on, the wrong things, and those unrealistic expectations distort our view, distort our attitude, or the real reasons why we should be celebrating Christmas in the first place. Look what Isaiah says later on in Isaiah chapter 49. He says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord, and that those who hope in me will not be disappointed." Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. And so one of the questions is, what are you putting your hope in? Are you putting your hope in this perfect scenario with these unrealistic expectations of what the holiday is going to be? Or are you putting your hope in the Lord and the way He can take care of things? Talk to the Lord about your feelings. You know, whether sadness or loneliness or disappointment might be filling your heart in that time. It says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. It says those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Sometimes you look for somebody to talk to, because one person said during the holidays, especially during a time of loneliness, she said this, "I learned that others are struggling too, and just learning that I'm not alone made things better." To know that others are struggling too. One serious question that if you answer it and follow it, you might have a much better Christmas season than what you could have otherwise. And here's the question. This came out, I was listening to Focus on the Family, and two women were being interviewed by Jim Daly, and they were talking about setting yourself up for success during the holidays. And it says, the question that they ask, it says, look, try to realistically answer this question. It says, what is going to be important to you this Christmas season? What's going to be important to you that is actually doable? In other words, not the fantasy expectation that's up here that it can only lead to disappointment. What can you do this Christmas season that's important to you that is actually doable? What could happen during a gathering or a dinner or a breakfast? You know, our family, you know, the way we were all in the ministry, we had a hard time getting together on Christmas Eve at all. So we would get together the morning of Christmas Eve, and my mom would make Eggs Benedict for everybody. And that's the way we celebrated Christmas, and we look forward to that. So somebody said, I want to meet you early in the morning on December 24th. And I'd say, sorry, I can't do it because we have a family gathering. What is important to you that is actually doable, so that you, at least during this Christmas season, if everything else goes bad or doesn't go according to schedule, you can at least say that this important thing happened, and then you will not likely be disappointed. So disappointment is a big part of overcoming during the holiday season. There's another feeling that comes up in the holiday season that's probably worse, I think, than disappointment, and that is just plain loneliness. Loneliness can be defined as this: affected with or characterized by a depressing feeling of being alone, right? Alone is where loneliness comes from, lonesome. And not just alone, because I know there's a lot of introverts out there, or a lot of extroverts, even us extroverts still need time alone, right? There are times, in fact, the ladies said during the talk, they said, you got to recognize that you have certain family members that after about an hour or two to gather together around the family, they're inside, they're wigging out. And they're just like, I got to get away. I got to get some time myself. And give them the freedom to do that. Just know who they are and give people the grace to do that. That feeling of loneliness, the depressing feeling of being alone or lonesome, destitute of sympathetic or friendly companionship or support. And we're gonna talk about that, because the gathering together of God's people, this is the Jesus gathering right here in Sebastopol. Every Sunday morning when we gather for worship, We gather to learn from God and His teaching in the Scriptures. We gather to encourage one another as long as it's called today. That's why we gather. There's so much that happens together when we gather that help address people that have feelings of loneliness or that are alone. Look what it says in Psalm 34. It says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit." Right? That God says, when you are brokenhearted, when you're feeling lonely, when you are feeling disappointed, that's when the Lord comes near, and He is ready to save. He's ready to deliver you when you are crushed in spirit. He says, come to you, fix your thoughts on Him. Those who hope in the Lord will not be disappointed. Do you see the common theme here? God's saying, when you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling disappointed, when you're feeling like your expectations are not being met, turn to the Lord, because He's always there for you. Everybody else could let you down, but God says He will never let you down. There's a lady that was struggling in a music video. Her name is Avril Lavigne, and she wrote a song addressed to God during a time of brokenhearted and loneliness. And I want you to see this video, this brief video clip. So please turn your attention to the screen.
Gotta keep the calm before the storm. I don't want less, I don't want more. Must bar the windows and the doors to keep me safe, to keep me warm. Yeah, my life is what I'm fighting for. Can't part the sea, can't reach the shore. And my voice becomes the driving force. I won't let this pull me overboard. God, keep my
kind of an abrupt ending, but the point that I was trying to get at by showing you the video is the feeling that some people have, whether during the holiday season or at a desperate time in their life. And they're saying, God, I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm getting under the undertow. And the beauty of that song was, at least in a desperate time of her life, she knew who to turn to. And she turned to God. And that's why that scripture is so true. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Whether it's disappointment or whether it's loneliness, whatever desperate time that there is, God says that He's going to be there for you. I think that during the holiday season, we should look around. Those of us who are in a good place, we should look around, and we should be extra sensitive to those who are lonely, or those who are disappointed, or those who feel like the holiday joy is passing them by. And we should try to build some bridges. We should try to connect with the people who need a friend most. Let's reach out to them. Let's talk to them. And that, you know what that requires? It makes us get out of our own comfort zone for the good of somebody else. You know what somebody told me yesterday? He says, you know, whenever I'm feeling lonely or I'm feeling down, one thing I try to do besides go to God in prayer is I try to find somebody else who's down, and I try to cheer them up. I try to help them out. And when I do that, I find that I myself start feeling a lot better too. God didn't leave us alone, by the way. In our loneliness, where we feel alone or we may feel isolated, there's nobody out there that really cares about us. This holiday season, it may not look all that fun, and you may not be anticipating good times because of loneliness. I want you to say this. If you are in a church community like Sebastopol Christian Church, you have another family other than your immediate family. You have family who love you and care for you just because you're here, because you're a human being made in God's image, because you are a follower of Christ as we are. And God designed that for the church. He put us together into a family. God says the church community is one of the antidotes to loneliness. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So when God was reconciling us to himself by sending Jesus, having him become our Savior, giving his life for us, for our sins, he reconciles us to himself, and he places us into God's family. And it gives God great pleasure to adopt us into God's family. So it's good to be among God's people. It's good to gather together for worship on Sunday morning. It's good to gather midweek together in a life group, because we all need to encourage one another as long as it is called today. We need that daily encouragement from God and from the body of Christ, the church. Another scripture in Ephesians is this. So now you Gentiles, or anybody who's not Jewish by birth, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. And here's what I'd say to you if you're feeling lonely during the holiday season. If you don't have a family that you can turn to by blood, you still have a family right here. A family that's not by physical blood, but a family that is connected even deeper by common faith in Jesus Christ. You are members of God's family, and you do not have to be alone. So let's recap. How do you survive the holidays? Easier said than done, right? How do you help your kids, or how do you help your grandkids? How do you help your family have a better holiday experience? How can you discover hope for your future and not disappointment? How can you put love and joy back into your Christmas season? How can it come back? First of all, and we've said this before, number one, this is fill in your blanks if you have your bulletin. Number one for how to survive the holidays, how not to have a blue Christmas. You don't have to join Elvis on Lonely Hearts Hotel. First of all, don't set your expectations too high. Have a prayer that is something like this, and this is how you can mitigate it. It says, Lord, help me not to have a picture in my mind of how this Christmas season has to be perfect in order for me to be happy. Help me to enjoy the moments with and the company of the people that you allow me to spend time with. Remember that question, right? Remember that important question. What's important to do in this holiday season that is actually doable? So don't set your expectations too high. That's number one. Number two is when you talk about having people gather together in your home or your condo or your apartment or wherever you gather, try and make your home a place that is an easy place to land. Try to make your home a place that is easy to land, where people know that love lives in your house, where grace is bigger than anybody's disgrace, right? It's where the love of Jesus is on display. And that's what makes home an easy place to land. The love of Jesus is on display. The family can make it over whenever they can make it. And whenever they can make it, even if it's not exactly when you pictured it or you wanted it, whenever they make it over, make it a special time with them. Make it a pleasant, welcoming time without guilt, without alienating them, without family members feeling judged or condemned in any way, shape, or form. Make your home a place that is easy to land. That's number two. Another thing you can do is do not forget, and this is, I'll go back to the 7 websites that I checked out right in the beginning for how to survive the holidays. Don't forget about your own self-care. You know, sometimes you're so busy taking care of everybody else that you're not taking care of yourself. It's very hard to, quote, walk in the Spirit, full of God's love and joy and grace, if you don't ever take time to be with God, if you don't take time to read His Word and ask for His Holy Spirit to help you love and forgive and show a lot of grace. Don't forget about your own self-care, and yes, be sure to hydrate. Number four, and this is the last one, about how to survive the holidays. Number four, and I think this is probably the most important one of all. We've mentioned this before. Try and help someone else have a better Christmas this season. Try to imitate your Savior when you do that. Jesus made sure we had a better Christmas because He left the glories of heaven so that we would be blessed. Let's imitate our Savior in that. Let's try to help somebody else have a better Christmas. Let's pass on the blessing that we've received from Jesus and pass that on to other people. Let's help a stressed out person to de-stress. Let's help a lonely person know that they are loved and they are not forgotten and not overlooked. And try and make inclusion your priority this Christmas rather than just trying to make an impression. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, it says this, "Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity," how many times do you have an opportunity? Well, as long as it's called today, right? If the day ends in D-A-Y, this day is your opportunity. "Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those who are in the family of faith." Sometimes we forget in the Christmas season, thinking about the holidays and the decoration and the food and the invites and the parties and the preparation. Sometimes we go right past and we're full of stress and we're full of anxiety and pressure, and we forget what should be the most obvious, which is about the Christmas season. Right? Do you remember what that Advent candle represents? Hope, right? The Advent candle represents hope as the first Sunday in Advent. And it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Right? That comes right out of Isaiah's prophecy 700 years before Christ. In Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." And then it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." You know, that child, Jesus, that was born in Bethlehem a long time ago, he changed everything. Jesus is the hope of the world. God sent him to save each one of us. And Jesus changes everything. And because Jesus has changed everything for you, you can be full of his Holy Spirit. And you can change everything around you. You can remember that Jesus is the light of the world, and you can pass that on, that he is the real reason why we are having this Christmas season at all. Jesus is the thrill of hope in which the weary world rejoices. Let's bow for a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the choir to come up and get ready to sing, and let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, in this holiday season, we want to not fall into the trap of, instead of being full of joy and peace and hope, sometimes we let circumstances creep in and we get filled full of anxiety and stress and even disappointment. Lord, help us to remember that you promised us that if we put our hope in you, that we would not be disappointed. Help us to remember that you are close to the brokenhearted. You are right there beside those who are crushed in spirit. And Lord, in the midst of the stress, Lord, we want that perfect peace. Lord, we claim that verse that says, "You will keep in perfect peace whoever puts their trust in you." And so, Father, above all, in this holiday season, we thank you for the fun times we're going to have. We thank you for the celebration and the lights and the singing and the pageantry. We thank you for all that. But more than that, Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus, that we are never alone again, because you say you're going to be with us always to the very end of the world. Thank you for this gathering of your people. Thank you for God's family, in which we don't have to be lonely because you placed us into a family of faith. Lord, help us to keep our thoughts fixed on you during this holiday season. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that your coming means to a world that is still walking in darkness. Help us to point them to you, the light of the world, and the hope that we have. And God, during this holiday season, I pray that we'd get beyond ourselves. I pray that we'd be able to look around and to see others who look like they're lonely or stressed or anxious or crushed in spirit. Lord, help our antenna to be up and to see people like that, and help us to come alongside them and communicate with them your love, so that they could know the hope that you give and the salvation that you offer and the joy that you bring as we put our trust in you. Lord, we pray all these things in the name of the one who became Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. choir. What a beautiful song. May the God of hope, who fills our hearts with his hope and peace, may that God fill your heart with his hope and peace this Christmas season. Go and find somebody who looks lonely or stressed or disappointed, and tell them that there's a hope that does not disappoint. And his name is Jesus. God bless you.
Amazing. first half of Noel, well, pretty quick. Then when he goes to the next song,
I'm
not sure.
Choir, what a beautiful song. What a great way to kick off our service as we enter into the Christmas season on this December 2nd. I noticed that Jack Frost was out there this morning on a lot of cars, windshields. I had to get water in a bucket and dump it on my windshield to be able to make it here today. But it's great. I see the sanctuary is all decorated now for Christmas, and thanks to a team from our church that got together this week and did that. If you came in through the lower entrance, you saw the nativity scene that is up there. So we are all ready for Christmas. And given that this is the first Sunday of December, this is what we call the first Sunday of Advent. And the first candle that is lit is the candle that represents hope. Because for hundreds of years, the prophets of God were predicting the coming of Messiah, were predicting the coming of the Savior who was anticipated and was now going to arrive. And we have a great hope, and a hope that does not disappoint, because Jesus is coming and Jesus is with us. So we're here to celebrate that today. I'm glad that you're with us. If you are a guest with us, I'd love for you to fill out this welcome card. You take one of these in the pews in front of you and you fill that out. We have a travel mug we'd love to give you at the end of the service if you would like to do that. If you're with us via live stream, welcome. And we hope this is a safe place for you to join us as we explore the Christian faith together. Now, I don't know if it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas around your house, but let's turn and greet one another and ask that question, okay? Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Please go ahead and come on in and stand with me as we continue worship.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh,
Glory to God be the glory.
Morning, Merry Christmas. That song is a perfect segue into my message this morning, and it's not so shocking this time. I love this time of year, and I think Jim mentioned it at the beginning. Everywhere you look, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. The beauty of the decorations, the songs, the gathering together, the joy. It's simply lovely. Quite lovely. But there is nothing simple about the majesty and the power and the love and the glory of our Creator and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The writer of Genesis tells us that in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. All three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were there at the beginning of creation. In perfect unity, they spoke the universe into being, and their power and their wisdom is displayed in an instant. And it's incomprehensible to me. A perfect world was created just by words. We worship God when we look into the night sky and we see that amazing creation. This is the Whirlpool Galaxy. It's billions and billions and billions of miles away. But it shows, it's just one that shows God's glory and majesty and power since the beginning of time, what we know as time. Time, mass, all by God's plan, by his hand. It makes me speechless when I consider and look up into the night sky. And I joked earlier, my husband Mike was sitting down there last time, and when I said speechless, he laughed. But it's true. You look up in his God's glory, it renders you speechless. But knowing that we would need a Savior, that we would not be able to come to him, he came to us. The gospel writer Luke writes, and the angel said to some shepherds in the field, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all people." That's us, all people. "For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Only God could redeem us. Only his love could pay the price for our sins. I love the beautiful picture of a baby, sinless and it's innocent. And it's amazing to me that God would choose this way to come to save us. The priceless gift of Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator God, we would give thanks to him who gave everything. The psalmist tells us the heavens declare the glory of God. Their expanse tells of the work of his hands. This is a deeper look of the Whirlpool Galaxy. And if you look closely, there's a black hole that is shown in the form of a cross. Now we know that's not coincidence. God knew from the beginning of time what he would do. And that renders each of us speechless. The expanse tells of the work of his hands, the hands that were nailed to a cross 2,000 years ago. for you and for me.
Perfect God, Creator, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. You alone are worthy of our praise. And we remember that as we come to the table. It's a celebration of His glory, His majesty, His love, and His power to bring us to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You and praise You, though no words really can bring about the words of Your glory that You show us all the time. You are there, You are always there, and You gave us this perfect gift of Jesus, His birth, His death, His resurrection. And we thank You that as we look up into the night sky, just like the psalmist David, we can just gaze in amazement and offer up our praise to You for Your love and power and majesty. And we just thank You and praise You, Lord Jesus, Savior Emmanuel, in Your name, amen.
Thank you, April. That was beautiful. As I said, first service, I don't think I can handle much more beauty this morning. Oh. As we prepare for our offering, would you pray with me, please? Holy Father,
As we give our offerings, we ask that you bless these monies and use them as you see fit, and that it glorify you in all ways. Amen. Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. Go ahead. Good morning and Merry Christmas. We have announcements this morning, and I'll make them very quick. First of all, you will see that we have the tree back there, what we call our giving tree, and you can take a tag or bring a tag or bring a gift certificate, whatever you'd like. We are collecting this year for the fire survivors up in Butte County. It was very successful last year. We used it for the folks that went through the fires down here in this area, and this year they're going up there. So give as your heart tells you to do that. And in your bulletin, you will find the ballots, the budget, officers, nominations, all of that. Please look through that, and the ballot box is back there. You can do it today, you can do it next week, whichever you prefer, but do again as you feel God is leading you. On December 8th, we have ladies only, our Christmas cozy. and we have, I'm wearing pajamas, ladies. I'm wearing pajamas, I'm gonna do it. Not only that, my pajamas are gonna match my mother's and my sister's. So we're gonna be quadruply, what is that? Four, yeah, we're gonna be a foursome anyway. So come to that, be prepared to have goodies, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. And the next day, actually, on December 9th, following your voting, if you prefer to do it next week, we have our soup luncheon, which is going for to raise money for the kids to go to Hume Lake again for their winter gathering, all the young people. It's another wonderful thing, and we get half soup, and I love soup, especially this time of the year, so get down there quick and donate, because, you know, I'm going to get down there, and I ain't waiting for you all, so just saying. I'm trying to be nice, but just saying. And we have our Christmas program. Oh, hallelujah, amen. This year, our Christmas program is based on a story that our own Francine Rivers wrote. So you gotta come, because I've been using Kleenex all morning and you're gonna need it that night like crazy, okay? As a matter of fact, I would suggest you come the first night, because it's gonna be so effective you might wanna have to come back and cry all over again, but it's gonna be beautiful. And we're very, very excited about it. And almost lastly, if you would like to donate poinsettias, well, you know those red things that grow every Christmas, to help spiffy up our church, please do that. We welcome anytime you can bring them by the office or whatever you'd like to do. And as always, check your bulletin for more information on all of these things. And now may I present to you Pastor Jim.
Thanks, Becky. I am looking forward to going to the Christmas show this year. It's in 2 weeks away, right? So it's December 15 and 16 at 6 o'clock p.m. And this is the kind of show that is involved for the whole family, right? The whole family can go, the whole community. I'd love for you to think of somebody even now to be praying about and inviting, whether it's a neighbor, a family member, a friend, somebody that you can say, hey, they need to hear the hope and the message of Christmas. So I'm hoping that you guys are going to do that, and be sure to show up on Saturday night, December 15, and December 16 on Sunday night as well. So before we jump into this message, I'd like for us to bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are excited about the Christmas season, about the Advent, which is a fancy word to say you're coming. And celebrating, anticipating the hope that you bring by coming into our world and changing it forever. Lord, we are looking forward to that day, but in the meantime, Lord, there's a lot of people who don't seem to enjoy the holidays. The happy and holiday doesn't seem to mix very well for them. And Lord, it's our prayer that you would use this message to bring them some hope and some joy and some perspective so that we can learn the true meaning of the season and we can have our focus on the right things. So, Father, we pray for the filling of your Holy Spirit that I may speak with clarity, with unction, with passion. And Lord, as we're sitting here now listening, I pray, Father, we'll be able to tune in and to lock in to what you want to say to each one of us. Lord, help us to be your kind of people during the holiday season that spread love and hope and cheer because of the hope that you give us. Lord, help this message now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Becky and Eve said, as you look around, the auditorium is just beautiful. If you walked in below, you saw the manger scene for the nativity. There's a Christmas tree in the back now. And that's, by the way, if you're wondering where the Giving Tree cards are located, they're on the Christmas tree. You just take one, you pick out either whether you want to give a gas card or a Target card or a Walmart card, and you bring the card back, and there's a box at the foot of the tree where all the gift cards are going to be collected for the Butte County Fire victims. So as they said, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I love Christmas. I think it's awesome. Christmas is like one of those holidays you think about, like, you celebrate it for a whole month. I mean, it is one day on December 25, or if you add Christmas Eve to it, but we're celebrating it even now, and it's a lot of fun. I love the Christmas songs. I love the O Come Let Us Adore Him Christian songs. I also love a lot of the secular songs. I think they're kind of fun and festive. One of my favorites is this one about, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, you take a look at the 5 and 10. Now, how many of you guys know what a 5 and 10 is, right? It's a nickel and a dime. Yeah. No, it's not just a nickel and a dime. It was before Walmart, before Target, before all these retail stores. There were local downtown shops that had inexpensive items that you could buy. I would call them like your local CVS pharmacy type stores, because that's where I get my stocking stuffers every year at the what I'd call the 5 and 10. There's candy canes, there's silver lanes aglow, there's toys in every store. And then it says, but the prettiest sight you see is the holly that will be. How many of you guys have a Christmas wreath already up on your own front door? I put one up, put one up already. In fact, I reached into my pocket this morning and I pulled out two of those, you know, those gutter connectors that where you put the lights up on where your gutter is, because I put my Christmas lights up yesterday and I'm like, dude, I still have two. So I gave them to Gene Neighbor and he had this look like, I don't want them, I don't put them up. So anyway, dolls and boots and pistols, right? What do the guys want for Christmas? They want a pistol that shoots. They want some hop-along boots. What do the girls want? They want a doll that talks and goes for a walk. And then what do mom and dad want for Christmas? They can hardly wait for what? Remember what they can hardly wait for? For school to start again. And you have to have young kids to know just how true that is, when the school-age kids, about the second week when you're going nuts and they're going, what do we do now? We're bored. So it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And the person who wrote this song, her name is Meredith Wilson. She wrote it in 1951 from her hometown in Iowa. And they had a big hotel and they had a park across the street, you know, where they light the community Christmas tree, like back in the day. So she said, there's a tree in the Grand Hotel and one in the park as well, the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. That's why I knew she didn't write it in Southern California, because Friday night, Lisa was with the grandkids down at Disneyland, and she sent us a video of the snow coming down. Do you know that it actually snows on Main Street in Disneyland? Have you guys been there for Christmas? The merriest place on earth, where they have the fireworks show and the Christmas joy and all that, and then all of a sudden, by magic, it just starts snowing until you reach out and you realize it's a bunch of soap bubbles. But it looks like snow. And in fact, in the video, my four-year-old grandson, Cade, he's going, is this real snow? You know, I'm going, that's my boy. Is this real snow? So they're all waiting for that. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And here's the last line. Soon the bells will start. And then it says, and the thing that will make them, what is it that makes the bells ring? The thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's a great uplifting song. It's a lot of fun. People have sung it, famous people over the years. When it came out in 1951, it was Bing Crosby. Then in 1968, it was the Good One by Perry Como. Another guy named Johnny Mathis sang it in the 1980s. And then in the 1990s, a new guy came out. I don't know if he was the official singer for Sonoma County. His name was Michael Bubbly. Is that how you say his name? Oh, sorry, Michael Bublé. But if it was Bubbly, he could be the singer for Sonoma County. And he sang a great version of the song. But here's the question for us as we're thinking about surviving the holidays, or, quote, how not to have a blue Christmas. You don't want to join Elvis on Heartbreak Hotel over there. How do you have a good Christmas? It says, what happens when you don't feel like you have a carol that you can sing right within your heart? What if you don't feel that joy in the Christmas season? You know, you ask the question of kids. Kids have a great perspective on Christmas. It's all about anticipating great stuff. You know, when you ask a kid, you say, what does the word Christmas or holiday mean to you? What words come to mind to a kid? And they say, no school. And they say, fun. And they say, playing. Hopefully outside once in a while. And overeating and eating a lot of sweets and stuff. And family. And of course, the most important word of all for a kid at Christmas time is presents, right? Presence. So it's a little different when you get to be an adult, and it's not quite as fun during the Christmas season as you get older. When you say, what does Christmas or the holidays mean to you, to some adults, other words come to mind. Words like stress. What about all the presents you have to buy, and all the purchases for family members and friends, and the pressure that climbs with that, and sometimes you feel financially broke or you're not able to do all that you'd like to do. There's pressure from all the decorations that you have to put up, and then after Christmas, all the decorations you got to take down. The anxiety sometimes that people have over all the weight they've gained during the holiday season. Now, I just want to, you know, it's December 2nd now, and, you know, did you notice Jack Frost came out last night? I mean, it's very cold. And when it's cold outside, and it's going to be cold all week, I checked the weather app, we're going to need more warmth. Now, you could put on a coat, or you can put on a jacket, or you could put on a little weight and sort of pad yourself and get ready for the holiday. So I think it's okay to have a few more treats during the holiday. It's part of the celebrating. Sometimes the word overcommitted comes to mind. Overcommitted with all the parties, the family events, the gatherings, the school plays and stuff that you have to go to, times where you have to be around people that you normally would not get along with and you wouldn't normally hang around. Some emotions come up when you think about Christmas or the holidays. For some people, it's a sad emotion because maybe this Christmas reminds you of some recent losses in your life. Maybe at your dinner table this year, there's going to be one less plate that is put out. Maybe you're separated from loved ones over distance, or maybe there's a disagreement, or there's a fight between family members, and now you don't gather at all, or there's death in the family. Maybe there's sadness for how the holidays just seems to highlight your own loneliness. And so for some people, happy and holidays don't really seem to go together. At times, the holiday season brings us as much sadness or as much anxiety as it does joy. There was one lady, and I was watching a video on a ministry that is put on across the country. It's called Divorce Care, and it helps people who've had a recent divorce get over their divorce and to help them move on with their life. She said, having been recently divorced, moving into the holiday season, this is what she said. She says, you know, I just wish I could go to sleep on the day before Thanksgiving and I wouldn't wake up until January 2nd. You know, it's sad, but there are people that really feel that way. For a lot of people, they have a lot of stress and anxiety. So you have to recognize that people are going through that. How can you put love and joy back into your Christmas season if you're feeling some of these sad emotions, because I really think that God just doesn't want you to get through the holidays. I don't think he wants you just to survive the holidays or have a least blue Christmas as you can. I think God wants you to thrive during the holidays. So what do I do in preparation for this message? I go to where all truth is found. I go to the internet, google.com, and I type in how to survive the holidays. How to survive the holidays. What is the depth of wisdom that I'm going to find from these websites that are going to instruct me in how to survive the holidays? You know, honestly, most of them, the common theme of the first seven websites that I went to, how to survive the holidays, the common theme had to do with eating. It had to do with not eating too much of the wrong foods and maybe eating some more of the right foods. Oh, and be sure to hydrate. And what I want to say is, yeah, be sure and hydrate with water and not some of those other beverages that too many people are hydrating with. You know, I was reading those websites, and the only thing I could think of was I was just scratching my head and says, wow, guys, thanks for the depth of your insight into how to survive the holidays. You know, especially when you come to Jesus and his words, and he talked about food, and he says, you know, because the Pharisees were the Jewish leaders of the day, they were criticizing Jesus, and they say, why don't your disciples wash their hands before you eat? Or why do you eat foods, you know, certain kinds of this or that? And Jesus says, you know, I want to straighten you guys out on something. Jesus said, it's not what goes into your body that defiles you, it's what comes out of your body that defiles you. So I don't think just, quote, watching your food portions or making sure you eat more of the right foods and less of the wrong foods, I really don't think food in and of itself is going to make or break the Christmas season for you. So if that gives you permission to pig out during the holidays, I guess, you know, that's fine. Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're supposed to be joyous times. They're supposed to be times of family bonding. And sometimes, instead of family bonding, you end up with some of the most stressful days of the year. Because what we tend to do too much of, and this is our mistake, but sometimes we can't help it, because we get so excited for the holidays, this happens to us. We do at least one of two things. The first thing we do is we set expectations for what the holidays are going to be and the celebrations are going to be, and we set those expectations way up there too high. And then the second thing we do is, besides the high expectations we set, we neglect to establish healthy boundaries when awkward family dynamics come into play. What do I mean by a healthy family boundary? Well, what I mean is, you know that when you gather for Thanksgiving or Christmas or some of these holiday parties and stuff, you're going to be around certain people. And a lot of times when you gather family members who don't get together any other time of the year, you're going to get a lot of people together with all kinds of diverse worldviews, opinions, politics, all kinds of things come into play. And if you don't establish some healthy boundaries, you might find yourself in the middle of an unpleasant conversation, and you may say some things that are offensive, and they may say some things that are offensive, and the next thing you know, the joy of the holiday season just seems to go out the window because you haven't really thought ahead of time on how to establish some healthy boundaries. So I think one of the biggest culprits in the holiday season, one of the biggest culprits that can steal your joy and peace during this time, is these overly high expectations. And women, I'm sorry to tell you, but I think given the two genders, you guys take the cake when it comes to overly high expectations. Women, you put a lot of pressure on yourselves during the holidays. You sometimes think you have to decorate just right. You have to cook splendidly. You have to prepare and host, and you have to do it all perfectly. And then you also take on the job of making sure that everybody in your household is having a great time. And then you get overwhelmed because there isn't enough of you to go around. How many women can identify with that? Just, okay, a few. Even some guys raised their hand. That was cool. All right. Because it may happen to you too. You know, in our 2018, as our families are more spread out than they've been before, When we have families with more blended families and second and third marriages, when we have more extended relatives and people coming together and more in-laws than we've had before, you know, it's even more challenging for families to get the holidays right. I mean, we have these hopes, at least, or expectations. You know, you want everybody to be able to gather on the holiday itself. Secondly, you want to have everyone who matters to you, everyone in your family there around that table. And then third, you want everybody who's in your household on the holiday, everybody together, gathered together, and you want everyone to have a great time. You want everyone to be happy. And unfortunately, what ends up happening oftentimes is, if you notice the graphic with Christmas Vacation, I don't know if you guys remember this movie or not, came out about 30 years ago with Chevy Chase, Christmas Vacation, where Clark Griswold was so hopeful of having this wonderful Christmas celebration with his family. He had his parents come in, he had his in-laws come in, he had Aunt Grace and Uncle somebody who was wearing a toupee, I don't know who it was, but they're all gathered around the table. He has his son, who, by the way, was Johnny Galecki, I think is his name, and he ends up being Leonard on Big Bang Theory when he grew up. I don't know if you knew that, but the kid in this Christmas Vacation grew up to be in the Big Bang Theory. But anyway, here's Clark Griswold, and he's in his home. It's in the Chicago area. He has spent days and weeks trying to get the right Christmas lights up. He has had a Christmas tree that was way too big. He's got a cat that's chewing through the wire that's about to start a fire. He's got his cousin Eddie in town with his family in the motorhome and their big dog who's having some kind of a movement underneath the table while they're celebrating the holiday season. He asks his great aunt to give the blessing, and she can't hear, and she says, "Grace, you want me to give Grace?" Well, Grace, she's been dead for 30 years. And they're going around, and they say, "Well, please say the prayer." Okay, and she starts to bow her head, and everybody's bowed, and it gets real nervous and silent. And finally, she starts saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And so people stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance around the table, and they say, "In liberty and justice for all." And everybody says, "Amen." And they sit back down. And Clark knows that things are going bad, but at least he sees a nice turkey in front of him, and he's getting ready to carve the turkey, and he gives compliments to his cousin, the chef, who cooked it, and he cuts into the turkey. Do you remember the scene? What happens? The turkey just sort of semi-explodes. It deflates. It's like that souffle that just goes, and it was all dried out inside. It was all burnt to a crisp, and it was terrible, but they cut up the turkey anyway. And the next scene, everybody's like, you know, crunching on this super dry turkey. They're trying to have a good time, but things are not turning out right. That Christmas celebration reminds me of what an engineer told somebody about a building project. The engineer said this to the other person. He says, "You know what? Here's what you can have. You can either have it better, cheaper, or faster, but you're going to have to pick two of the three." Let me say that again. You can have it better, you can have this building cheaper, or you can have it faster, but you've got to pick two out of the three, because the likelihood of getting all three is slim and none. And I think that's what we do sometimes with our expectations in the holiday season. We want the trifecta. We want to celebrate on the holiday itself. We want everybody in the whole family gathered together at that day, and we want everybody to be happy. And what ends up is people end up having a disappointing Christmas season because their expectations are so high and they can't possibly meet the expectations. Oh, and by the way, in trying to be everything for everybody, they forgot to take care of themselves. They stayed up too late. They didn't drink enough water or hydrate properly. They didn't get enough exercise. They didn't get enough rest. And then they wonder why around December 13th or 14th, they start turning into the Grinch. You temporarily lose your peace and joy. So how do you get your joy and your peace during the holiday season? And I think one of the keys to that is you got to know where to keep your perspective. Where do you put your hope? Isaiah the prophet wrote this in Isaiah chapter 26. He said, you, talking about God himself and about what is the perspective for how we find peace. He says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. That's a promise from God. God says he has the ability to keep us in perfect peace, whether or not everything on your holiday list is answered, whether or not all the people you want at the table are there, whether or not the present that you wanted is underneath your tree, whether or not you were able to give whatever present you really wanted to give somebody or not. He says, God says, put all that aside. You will be able to keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And so one of the keys for surviving the holidays, and not just surviving, but thriving during the holidays, one of the keys for not having a blue Christmas is keeping our thoughts fixed on God himself, keeping our thoughts fixed on the Lord. He says he can keep us in perfect peace that way. Now me, speaking for myself, I love peace. I think it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit the last time I checked, right? So peace is a good thing, right? And I'm a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. I love it when everybody gets along. I'm the last guy that brings up on purpose anyway, and I've stuck my foot in my mouth, but it's usually unintentional, where I bring up something that just stirs the pot and has everybody up in arms. I do not do that, and I do not want to do that. In fact, I try to prevent that from happening in all the holiday gatherings. So what I figure is anytime I gather for the holidays and I know I'm going to have extended family and people with varying opinions and stuff, I know that I'm going to have to keep my mouth shut as much as I want to speak. Sometimes there's just things that are off limits to talk about. Like what happens when a certain family member or invited guest, what happens when they spout off their opinion about something and it's the exact opposite? In fact, you think you couldn't be any more wrong than what you just said right there. What do you do in a moment like that? What if they say something that you couldn't disagree with more? What should you do in a moment like that? Now, here we are talking about surviving the holidays. Well, I think one of the things we could do is do what Francis of Assisi did. By the way, there's a joke in Spanish. For all you Spanish speakers, I'm going to tell you this one. They said, what is the smallest saint? Okay, I'll say it in English and then I'll say it in Spanish, because it's no joke in English. Maybe only you guys will get it. But the joke in Spanish is this. What is the smallest saint of all the saints? And the answer is Saint Francis of Assisi, right? And you guys are going, that is no joke at all. I don't get how funny that is. But in Spanish, it's a little different. They say, ¿Quién es el santo más pequeño? ¿Quién es el santo más pequeño? And the answer is San Francisco de Assisi. Let me go back to Saint Francis. Saint Francis said this, and he talked about communication, and he said this: seek to understand before you seek to be understood. Right? I think sometimes we hear somebody say something and we immediately rush to judgment. We immediately say, oh wow, you just dropped a bomb in the room, and now it's going to be World War III, and I can't help myself from responding to that, right? So sometimes one of the greatest fruits of the Holy Spirit that we can exercise to keep the peace is self-control, and instead of immediately going on the attack, seek to understand before you seek to be understood. Maybe you can ask them a question. Maybe you can say, you know, I think I just heard you say that. What do you mean by that? And how does that relate to this or to that? And try to get the person to clarify what they mean by what they say. And oh, by the way, as they're doing that, try to think to yourself, where can we find some common ground here? Instead of focusing on the things that are different or the things we disagree on or the things where you say, I'm right and you're wrong and I've got, you know, and I know and you don't know. Instead of having that attitude, especially during the holidays around the table with gatherings of people, try to have that seek to understand before you seek to be understood, and ask questions and try to find common ground, and maybe say something like this. You say, you know, we all want to see a better America, don't we? We all want to have a more caring society and see people thriving and doing well. I think we can agree on that, wouldn't you say? Yes. So there's ways to find common ground. Let me go back to that topic of disappointment, right? Where does disappointment come from, right? When you look up the definition of the word disappointment, disappointment starts with expectations. And disappointment basically are somebody had expectations that were here, and the way the holiday season turned out was down here, and the bigger the difference between your expectations and the reality, then the bigger was your disappointment. Disappointment is the feeling of sadness or displeasure caused by the defeat of your hopes or your expectations. It has so much to do with expectations. And so I want to say that if you're going to have a good holiday season, you have to talk about your expectations and not get them up too high. Because when your expectations aren't met, it leaves you frustrated. It can leave you hurt. It can even leave you bitter. During the holidays, we tend to paint this perfect picture. And this is, again, this is where you put the expectations, right? You picture the holiday season. You picture the gathering with your family or your friends. And you picture this snow falling softly. You picture presents that are neatly wrapped around this beautiful, perfect Christmas tree. You look in the window from the outside like Kevin did in Home Alone. And you see this family that's gathered, and maybe they're gathered around a piano, and somebody in the family, which hardly ever happens anymore, but somebody in the family plays piano, and they're all singing together, and they're having a great time. And that perfect picture that you have can leave you saying, well, I don't have that. I don't even have anything close to that. And it can leave you focusing on what you don't have instead of what you do have. And it can give you an unrealistic expectation that can distort your view and take away your joy and get you off track for the real reason that we're celebrating Christmas in the first place. Look what Isaiah says in chapter 49. He says, then you will know that I am the Lord, and those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. So you combine those two verses, right? The one that says, you are able to keep in perfect peace those whose hearts and minds are fixed on you, and you and on all those who hope in me will not be disappointed. So you ask yourself, what's the common theme? Where's the focus of the person supposed to be if they're going to thrive during the holidays and not just survive them? How are they going to keep from having a blue Christmas? They're going to hope in God. That's how they're not going to be disappointed, because people will all, not all people all the time, but lots of times people will let you down. Lots of times you even let yourself down. Now here's a question that I have for you. This will help you manage your expectations during the holiday, right? So you want to have a good time during the holidays. You want to have hopes to have a wonderful holiday, but you don't want your hopes to be too high. So here's the question you ask. What is something that's important for you to do this Christmas season? What is something that you really want to happen this Christmas season that is actually doable, right? In other words, something that you can actually pull off. Not the fantasy, not the perfect Christmas, not the movies, the Hallmark stuff that you watch all the time, but what is actually doable? And if you can do that one thing, what would that one thing that you can do that is actually doable? And then work on doing that one thing. Because if you can pull off that one thing that is actually doable, you can look back and say, hey, it was a pretty good holiday season after all. We're going to talk about one other thing besides disappointment. I think one of the reasons why people have a blue Christmas is they set their expectations way too high and they end up getting disappointed. And the second reason why people have a sad holiday season is because of loneliness. Now, what is loneliness? I don't think I even have to really define it, because the word alone is right there in the loneliness, right? It says affected with or characterized by this depressing feeling of being alone. Now, sometimes you introverts that are out there, you're going, what's so bad about being alone? You know, alone is where I recharge. Alone is where I rejuvenate. I need some alone time. In fact, here's another thing for you extroverts. Introvert family members during the holiday season, they're going to need some alone time. So right around hour two or three of the family gathering, when you see somebody who you know is an introvert and they start getting a little agitated or wigged out and stuff, give them an out. Let them have a little bit of alone time. Let them go recharge their batteries. why you extroverts just keep feeding off all the other people in the room, right? So there's a little piece of advice there. But here's this part about loneliness. It says you're destitute of sympathetic or friendly companionship or support. You feel lonely because you feel like you don't have enough friends or you don't have enough family around. You don't have enough time or activities to fill your time. And you feel like, okay, God, where are you in all this? God, I need to know that I am alone, but I don't have to be lonely. And God says, I am with you. Jesus says, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We say, yeah, yeah. And you're like that kid that prayed that one time and, you know, hey, Jesus is with you. The mom is saying over and over, hey, Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. And I'm leaving the room now, but never forget, Jesus is always with you. And the kid says, I know, Mom, but can you stay, please? Because I want somebody with skin on, right? So to the person who knows that Jesus is with you, but you still may feel lonely, you can do something about it. You can put yourself in a place or a position where you can be around other people if you choose to do that. Sometimes people, when they're lonely or they're depressed, they tend to isolate. They tend to go off by themselves. And one of the reasons that you can have a better holiday is if you notice somebody who's tending to isolate and tending to be lonely and tending to be down during the holiday season, and you can see that person, you have your antenna up, you're saying, God, help me help somebody have a better Christmas this year, and you go and find them, and you talk to them and listen to them and commiserate with them and stuff. This one lady on the video said, I learned during the holiday season that others were struggling too, just like me. I learned that I'm not alone. And just that feeling was enough to make the difference for her. As we're talking about loneliness, a verse that came to mind, it's a verse that I often quote during memorial services or during funerals, and it's this one, and it's a very good verse. It's a very comforting verse. It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is near to those who are brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So when you feel lonely, when you feel down, when you feel like it's going to be a blue Christmas this holiday season, remember, that's when God says he's going to be near to you. That's when that footprints thing, you remember that whole footprints poem come to mind, where in the poem it says, you know, I noticed there were two sets of footprints as I was walking with my life, but I also, as I was tracking back on my life, in the times when I was the most down, when the times I was the most desperate, when the times I was the most grieving or hurting, I noticed that there was only one set of footprints. And Jesus, you said you were going to walk with me. You said you'd be with me to the very end of the age. What happened in the most lonely times of my life? And you know what Jesus' answer was? He says it was during that very time, during the most lonely times of your life, when I was carrying you. And that's why there was only one set of footprints. Because the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And the person that knows to look up to God when they're lonely and they're having a blue Christmas and they're just trying to get through the holidays, when they're looking to God, that is where they're going to have hope. You know, there's an artist, she was very popular maybe about 15 years ago when she was young, but now she became an adult. She became a follower of Christ, and she sang this song of looking to God when she was desperate. Some of you may know her name. Her name is Avril Lavigne, or Avril Lavigne. I can't even pronounce it. It's one of those two. But this is the artist, and she's written a great song about times like this when you're looking up and you're saying, God, I need your help. Please give your attention to the screen.
Gotta keep the calm before the storm. I don't want less, I don't want more. Must bar the windows and the doors to keep me safe, to keep me warm. Yeah, my life is what I'm fighting for. Can't part the sea, can't reach the shore. And my voice becomes the driving force.
God, keep my head above water. Don't let me drown. If it's harder, I'll meet you there at the altar as I fall down to my knees. Don't let me drown, drown, drown. Don't let me drown. So pull me up from down.
You caught the lyrics of that song, because it was a song from a desperate soul, a song that felt like she was going under, and she said, God, at least she went to the right place. She said, God, you're going to have to help me out right now. God, keep my head above water. During the times that they're lonely, during the times that they're down, during the times when there's no happy to your holidays, how do you handle loneliness? I think that during this holiday season, those of us who are doing better, we could also have our spiritual antenna up. We could be extra sensitive to those who are feeling lonely, to those who are feeling down, and we could try to build some bridges. We could try to connect with the people that need a friend the most. We could reach out to them. We could seek them out. We could talk with them. What would that take from us? Well, some of what it would take was we'd have to get out of our own comfort zone. We would have to say, it's not just about me. It's not just about whether I'm having a good time. Lord, I want to help other people be able to get through this holiday season as well. I want to bless them. So, Lord, help me to get out of my comfort zone for somebody else's sake. And you can do that. You can be God's family to them. Because look what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. Talk about God including us in his family. It says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It does not give God any pleasure that you are alone and that you are feeling lonely. It does not give God any pleasure that you are disappointed and sad during the holiday season when we ought to be celebrating, when we just lit a candle because we're reminded that for centuries, God's prophets were announcing the coming of the Messiah. For hundreds of years, people were waiting, like they were waiting in the Egyptian slavery, and they were saying, God, deliver us. God, deliver us. When are you sending Messiah? And finally, God says, I am sending him. Jesus is on the way. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. The hope is on the way. Help is on the way. And God's whole purpose for that was when he reconciled us to himself in Jesus Christ, he also included us into God's family. And when you are included in God's family, the idea is you and I never have to be alone again. Your own family could forsake you. You could be alone. You could be divorced. All your family members could have died or gone away, or nobody's speaking to you, and you can still have the family of God. They're not going to be family by blood or by genealogy, but they're going to be the family by faith. And this church community, this gathering of Jesus followers, this is here partially, this community that we have here, so that nobody has to be alone, so that nobody has to go through what they're going through by themselves. God adopted us into his own family. Look what it says in Ephesians 2:19. Later on in the same letter, Paul says, so now you Gentiles, or anybody who's not Jewish by birth, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. The greatest family that we can have is the family of faith. And the greatest family that you and I can have besides our own family, maybe you have a great personal nuclear family. Maybe your holidays are like the holidays in the movies and the commercials and the expectations that people have where they only get disappointed. Maybe you have a family like that. But at the same time, if God gave you a family like that, he's saying, be on the lookout for people who don't have that and try to include them. Be inclusive this holiday season. Don't just try to be impressive. Be inclusive, not just impressive during this holiday season. You know, I was talking to somebody who was at the Saturday table yesterday, and then they did the Christmas Saturday table for the meager in our community. And many, many people came. And many people came who hadn't been here for a while. And they came in and they sat down and they felt the love and the warmth and the hospitality, and they ate together. And a person was talking to Eve Joseph. She was the one who was telling me. And she says, you know the feeling that I got in this place? And she said, what? And she said, it felt like family. It felt like family here. That feeling of family can be present here on Sunday morning. That family feeling can be there if you are in a life group that meets during the week. It can be a family feeling when you're serving God together on one of our ministry serve teams. You can find that family. You can find that connection, that belonging, where you know that you're not alone anymore. And that's right here in God's church. It can be for you as well. So let me just recap and say where we've been, okay? In order to survive the holidays, in order not to have a blue Christmas, right? Here's some of the questions. How can you help your kids? How can you help your grandkids? How can you help your family have a better holiday experience? How can you discover hope and not just disappointed? Hope that doesn't disappoint for your future. And how can you put love and joy back into your Christmas season? I think there's at least four ways to do it. And if you have your bulletins, this is where you fill in the blanks. How can you survive the holiday experience? And not just survive, but thrive during the holidays. The first one, we said before, I think it bears repeating. Don't set your expectations too high. I think you should have a prayer that says something like this. Lord, help me not to have a picture of how this Christmas season has to be perfect in order for me to be happy. God, help me to enjoy the moments that you give me with the company that you give me and the people that you allow me to spend time with. Help me to enjoy those moments and not just this perfect image that I have in my head of how the Christmas season has to be perfect. So don't set your expectations too high. The second thing you can do is try and make your home an easy place to land. Try and make your home an easy place to land. I would love it if everybody who came into your home would have this feeling and say, you know what? Love lives in this house. Love lives in this house. There is grace here. And you know what? I can feel the love of God. I can feel the love of Jesus in this house because it's so welcoming. It's so pleasant. It's so hospitable. I don't feel guilt here. I don't feel shame. I don't feel judgment. I don't feel opposition. I don't feel criticism. I just feel loved and accepted and cared for. So try to make your home an easy place to land. Number three, don't forget. Now, this is back to the seven websites that I checked, right? Because that's all they care about. Number three, don't forget about your own self-care, right? So one of the questions is, how do you survive the holidays? How do you not turn into a Grinch by December 15th? This is one of the ways to do it. Don't forget about your own self-care. You know, it's hard to walk in the Spirit if you're not having a devotional time with God every single day. It's hard to speak to other people and be filled with God's love if you don't take the time to be with God himself. He said that he would give hope, that hope would not disappoint. He would give perfect peace to those who set their minds on him, right? So when you set your minds on him, you can be ready to minister to other people And if you don't take time to be with God or read His Word or go to the church gatherings or go to your life group, if you're not taking time for that, you're not allowing His Spirit to fill you with His love and grace that you can pass on to other people. So that's number three. So don't set your expectations too high. Try and make your home an easy place to land. Don't forget about your own self-care. And here's number four, and I think this is probably the best advice that I could give for helping somebody get out of their own funk, F-U-N-K, for not being down during the holidays. And that is this, number four. Try and help someone else have a better Christmas. Jerry said it in the prayer meeting this morning, Jerry Chapman. And he says, you know, whenever I feel down, and I imagine he feels down once in a while. Everybody does. But he says, whenever I feel down, he says, I always try to look for somebody else. And I always try to cheer them up or make their day or help them have a better day. And I said, Jerry, you hit the nail on the head. You were reading my sermon notes this week before you ever got to the prayer meeting. Try and help somebody else have a better Christmas. Look what Jesus did. We're trying to imitate Him, right? Jesus left the glories of heaven for what reason? For love, for us, so that He could bless us, so that He could bring us by faith into God's forever family, right? So Jesus, He spent His Christmas trying to help us have a better Christmas, if that makes sense. So let's pass the blessing that Jesus gives us on to others. Let's help a stressed out person to de-stress. Let's help a lonely person know that they are not alone, that they're loved and they're not overlooked. Try and make inclusion your priority, right? Try to make your home an easy place to land, right? Try and make inclusion your priority instead of just trying to make an impression. Finally, in the New Testament, it talks about God's family, and it says this, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. So whenever you have the opportunity, that means every day there's some opportunity. There's an opportunity for you to do good for somebody else every single day, to bless somebody else, to get away from just, you know, the world's all about me, myself, and I, and say, I'm looking around, I'm looking in front of me, I'm looking to my side, I'm looking behind me. Is there anybody else right now that might be having a blue Christmas that I could try and help cheer up, that I could help make somebody else's Christmas? Do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what we can do for somebody else. Now, a lot of times I was reflecting on this message, and I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to get to the end of the message, and somebody's going to say, where's Jesus in all this? Where's Jesus in the message, right? The most obvious way to have a blue Christmas is to forget the real reason for the season. Right? In fact, I remember all the bumper stickers and all the signs. Jesus is the reason for the season. And it kind of became a cliche, but the way that something becomes a cliche is it's a really great statement that just people keep saying over and over and over again. Jesus is the reason for the season. We should not forget what should be the most obvious in our Christmas season. And I want to quote this from Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 9. He says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. The people that were walking in darkness have seen a great light. How do they see the light? The Bible says faith comes by hearing. And so when you see somebody down and you share the love of Christ, where you share the hope that we have in Jesus with somebody else, you are helping somebody who's walking in darkness to see that Jesus is the light of the world. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know what I like about the King James Version there is it reminds us that this child is given for us. This son is born for us. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. We have something great to celebrate this Christmas season. That child born in Bethlehem would change everything. Jesus is the hope of the world. God sent him for us. Jesus changes everything. And he's the real reason why we celebrate this Christmas season. So God is able to keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are focused on him. We keep Jesus front and center of our focus this Christmas season. And we're not just going to survive during the holidays, we're going to thrive. And we're going to help make somebody else's Christmas as well. Worship team, I'm going to invite you to come up, and I'd like for us to all bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, you promise us, you said, if I would put my hope in you, then I would not be disappointed. God, you say that you're close to the brokenhearted. You are near to those who are crushed in spirit. And God, I take you at your word because I so want that perfect peace. God, I want peace during this holiday season. I don't want to just wish I could take a nap the day before Thanksgiving and not wake up till January 2nd. God, I want to enjoy the holiday season. And Lord, I want to be able to thrive during this holiday season. And Lord, you say you're able to keep in perfect peace. That perfect peace would come for anyone who would trust in you. And so, Lord Jesus, I'm putting my trust in you right now. You came to this earth to change everything. You came to this earth to show us the way back to God. You came to this earth so that we could have our sins forgiven and be brought into God's family. And so I'm going to put my trust in you. And Lord, you said that you would give me your perfect peace. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that because of him, I'm never really alone. And not just because of your Holy Spirit, but I'm never alone because now I've got a new family. I've got God's family, the church, to be part of this community. And I don't have to be alone anymore. So thank you for that. Thank you for God's family. Lord, help me to fix my thoughts on you this Christmas season. Help me to have the hope that your coming means to a world that is still walking in darkness. Help me to point them to the light that is you. And God, help me during the times when I sometimes just get down on myself or I get inwardly focused or maybe I start to isolate. Lord, help me to stop in my tracks during those moments and help me to look around. Help me to see others who might be crushed in spirit. Help me to come alongside them and help them know the hope and the salvation and the joy that you bring to my life. Lord, I pray all these things in the name of the one who became Emmanuel, the one who is now God with us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand.
There's that Christmas tree that's all lit up and it's got gift cards on there. There's a way to help somebody else have a better Christmas. Next week, we're going to start a brand new series. It's going to be on Christmas profiles. We're going to profile different people and how they were awaiting the coming of Messiah. So I hope you'll come back for that. Remember, next week, we're going to have our congregational vote. You can still vote today. Fold up your paper, put it in the ballot on your way out if you want to do that. And then also remember that next week is going to be the soup fundraising lunch after church. So bring your donations for that to help send our kids to winter camp. Let's go out there and not have a blue Christmas because we keep our mind and our heart and our thoughts focused on Christ, our coming Savior. God bless you.
with you by my side. I feel your love, it's burning inside me. Deep down.